Today, I want to start a short two-week series on the subject of evangelism. We've been advertising for the past several weeks about Friend Day, and that's coming up on April the 14th, as we've mentioned. In fact, every year that I have been here, I think with the exception of one, that we have had a Friend Day. And so we've done it a lot, and I think that sometimes in our minds, I know I've been guilty of it a few times, where we've just kind of taken it for granted, or it's kind of old hat, and we don't get too fired up about it because we think, you know what, we've got a guest musician coming in, and that's going to be kind of nice, and Ron's either going to preach shorter or not at all, and that's going to be nice. And we can maybe even have this ho-hum kind of attitude about Friend Day. And I want to encourage you to get excited about it. I was reading this week an article that said, still, the number one reason why people will attend church for the first time is because someone invited them to church. That's the number one reason people come. I also read that the top three reasons that people consider going to church in the first place is that something is, number one, either missing in their lives, and they realize that there's a void of some kind in their lives, and they know that, or maybe they're missing someone in their lives. Maybe a coworker has passed away, or a family member has passed away, or something like that, and it gets them to thinking more about spiritual things, and so they're willing to come to church, or maybe something is broken in their lives. Maybe their finances are broken. Maybe their marriage and their home is broken. And so they're open to spiritual things. Or maybe something new is in their life. Maybe it's a new marriage. And I counsel couples all the time who are getting ready to get married, and every one of them sit across the desk from me, and they agree to the importance of starting off the marriage, going to church, and having that right relationship with Jesus. Or maybe it's a new baby that's in their lives, and they're excited about the new baby, and they know they're gonna need prayer with that new baby. So for the next couple of weeks, I want you to think about those people in your life who might be going through situations like that. Maybe it's something that you know there's something missing there in their life, or maybe something is broken, or maybe something new. Whatever the case may be, think about those people in your life and invite them. The bottom line is that, just invite them. Because here's, I read this from Psalm chapter 78, and it really, you know, a lot of times when we start talking about evangelism, we start talking about the mission of the church, and we start thinking about the Great Commission, and we start thinking about how we're told to go into all the world, and we're to preach and teach and baptize in the name of Jesus, make disciples, and all of those things, and that's all great. But I want to go back to the Old Testament. This passage really hit me like a ton of bricks this week. Here's what it says, starting in verse 2. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children. Again, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children, and they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. I got to tell you, when I look at the inactivity of the younger generation in our churches, it's concerning to me. When I think about the number of people who are off at college and they decide that once they get out on their own, they're not going to go to church anymore, that's concerning to me. And so this morning, I want us to use our imaginations for a little bit, and I want to picture this psalm that we just mentioned, Psalm 78, verses 2 through 7, and I want to bring this idea of three different chairs. That's why we've got this up here. I'm not going to pull you up here to sit in these, and you're not going to hear from three preachers. Sometimes you walk in. How many of you thought that? You saw the three chairs. Oh, three guys. I go, no, we're not going to do that this morning. But I want you to think about
these three chairs in the context of Psalm chapter 78. Now, this chair that's here in the middle, this represents my place in this family. This chair that I'm sitting, it represents your place in this family. It represents the fact that you are here in this church. Somewhere along the line, you became a part of this church. Some of you, I don't know how many of you can remember, you can raise your hands or say amen or whatever you want to do, but how many of you can remember the moment you gave your life to Christ, where you were sitting in the congregation when you gave your life to Christ? How many of you can remember that? I know that I can remember that. Maybe it wasn't in the congregation at all. Maybe it was outside. Maybe it was sitting in the preacher's office or whatever, and you decided to confess Christ and be baptized. Maybe it was a private ceremony. You remember those things. You remember that word of encouragement. You're sitting there and you're having a really difficult time. And maybe someone like Laura got up and sang a beautiful song like she just sang, "Hey, help me want the healer more than the healing." And that really inspired you and that really spoke to you. Or maybe something was said in the communion meditation, or maybe I said something in a sermon, and you just remember being in the seat that you're in, and what was said or sung or done, and it really inspired you, it really moved you, or whatever. Some of you have been sitting in the same seat for years. That's why when we did a remodel a few years ago, we had. We put memory foam in the pews just in case you forget where you sit. The pew won't forget where you sit. And so we put the memory foam in there for you just for that. Some of you might even get offended when someone sits in your seat. You chuckle about that, but there's a couple of you that didn't chuckle. And so, you know, I know what that means, you know. But you have so many wonderful memories of sitting in the seat that you're in. Whether, and I got to admit, Padfields have thrown me off a little bit because normally they're in the second service and they're over here. So I'm all messed up this morning. But you have so many wonderful memories of growing up in the church and different things that have happened in the church. But then there's this chair over here to the right, okay? This chair is kind of a reminder that somebody came before you, okay? Somebody invited me here. Somebody said, "Hey, why don't you come with me to Friend Day?" Or, "Hey, I know you're looking for a church." Or, "Hey, I know you're new to the community." Or, "Hey, I know that something is going on in your life that you're struggling with, and I think that the church can help." Someone made a place for me. Someone invited me and said, "Hey, I want you to be here." I was first invited by my mom and dad when I was just a little baby, and I loved it. So they tell me. I don't remember it, but I was just a little baby. And I remember, I still have this with me. This little New Testament that I have in my hand is 50 years old. You know how I know that? Because I'm 50 years old. And this was given to my mom on September 28th, 1969 by the Cradle Department. Actually, it'd be 49 years, but it's not quite 50 yet. But September 28th, 1969 by the Cradle Roll Department of the church that we attended. The first time that some of you ever came to church here, you were adults maybe. Maybe you were a little bit skeptical. You sat in the back just in case you didn't like what was going on. And maybe the preacher was preaching on money, and so you got up and left. You know, things got a little weird. People started singing, and maybe somebody in front of you started raising their hand while the song was going on. You thought that was a little weird. What's he got a question? What's going on? You know, what's he doing there? It's a little bit odd. But somewhere along the line, you met Jesus. And you help pave the way for other people to come today, you know. You know, maybe some of you, you're sitting out there today and you're a lifer. You've never known what it was like to not be in church. Some of you might have so many Sunday school certificates and Bible school certificates that you could paper your living room with them. That's how long you've been coming to church. You don't remember a time when you didn't come to church. But here's the deal. None of us came to faith on our own. So someone paved the way for the message to get to you. I want you to just imagine, I want you to picture this chair right here that is to your left, my right. I want you to picture all the way in this direction from this moment right now, all the way back to the book of Acts when the church first started. That's what this chair represents. I think about people like the Mannions and the Ragers and the Armstrongs and the Imleys. And I could go on and on and on about the people who have put their blood, sweat, and their tears into this church to make sure that the gospel message would continue and that I would be able to sit in a seat like this and that you would be able to sit in a seat like this. That's why the church is so amazing. There's no other institution on the face of the earth that is as amazing as the church is. Jesus told his friends, and they told their friends, and they told their friends. And a lot of times when they told their friends, it came at a great cost. Not a single generation got skipped all the way back from the day Peter stood up and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Not one generation has been skipped in the message all the way up to where we sit today. Now, there's a chair on the left that I want to talk about as well. And this is the chair that I'm most concerned about. I'd like to make this personal for a moment. I want to ask every one of you, if you don't mind for a moment, would you just take out a picture of someone that's close to you? Most of you probably have that on your cell phone, so I'm giving you permission, not that you need it, but I'm giving you permission to take out your cell phones for a moment. If I catch you playing word games on it, we're going to take it away from you. But get a picture of someone that that you know, that you love. Or maybe you still have pictures. How many have pictures in their wallet still? Anybody still do that? Okay. That reminds me of what I heard someone say, what the definition of a dad was. Definition of a dad is someone who has pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. Can I get an amen to that, right? All right. Anyway, pull that picture out. Maybe it's of your kids. Maybe it's of a nephew. Maybe it's grandkids. Maybe it's a niece. Maybe it's a friend. Show it to somebody near you and tell them why your grandkids are cuter than their grandkids. Go ahead and do that for just a moment. In all seriousness, take that out and just show it to the person sitting next to you. You don't have to make any kind of comment. I'm just messing with you on that. Take a look at a picture or two of somebody in your life. And I want to ask you a question, and I'm really going to see a show of hands on this one. Does anybody have anyone in their life, in your family, in the next generation, someone from work, someone from your neighborhood whose spiritual well-being you're concerned about? Raise your hand if that's you. I think we all do. You know? And I understand how this works in your heart and your mind, you know. There's somebody that you really, really love, and you're just praying that somewhere, somehow, along the way, that someone would introduce them to Jesus. Because you haven't been able to do it for some reason, and I know that family's difficult to talk to sometimes about the Lord. They just kind of shut you out sometimes, and sometimes it takes someone else. But you're just hoping that someone invites them to a community of faith that's teaching the Bible, helps them to take that step back home that they need to take. And I'll tell you an amazing thing that happens in church when we invite people. This is what makes a church great. A church becomes great when people care more, not about this chair or this chair, but when people care more about this chair. And here, this has been my experience, and it breaks my heart to think about this, because I've been this person in this chair that's more concerned about making you happy and more concerned about what's happened in the past than I care about getting people in this chair who's not here yet. People of the next generation. that's dying of drug overdoses and suicide. A neighbor who doesn't know God. And we sit here in our comfy country club kind of mentality sometimes, not giving a hoot about this chair. And we might say we give a hoot, but what are we doing? What are we doing to fill this chair? You know? I'll tell you what can happen. You invite someone to church, you're going to start looking at things differently. When you invite someone to church, say, yeah, I'm going to go to church with you. You're going to start looking through the eyes of that person that you've invited to church rather than what makes you happy and what makes you comfortable. Because you're concerned about their spiritual well-being. You want them to come through the doors of this church. And you want them to experience God because you care about them. You love them. We pray things like, God, this Sunday, make the people there at church even friendlier than they already are. You know, make the music there at church even better than it already is. Make the message that the preacher preaches be way, way better than usual. And shorter, please God, shorter. You know, all of a sudden, here's what happens. We start to look at stuff through their eyes rather than those of us who are already here. And the stakes, they get raised a lot higher because you realize, man, eternity is hanging in the balance for these people. This person that I love, and it matters. I remember when I was preaching in North Vernon, we were experiencing a lot of growth down there at that particular time. We were having new people come to the church every Sunday just about. I remember a lady in our church, she stopped by the office to see me, and she wanted to know what I was preaching about on Sunday, and she replied, I sure hope it's a good one. I said, well, I'll do my best. And she said, well, I've got a friend coming with me this Sunday and she doesn't know the Lord and I just want her to come to know Jesus. And I said, oh, that's great. And she looked me in the eye and she pointed her little bony finger right at me and said, don't blow it. No pressure there. But I love that. I love that people care enough about someone else who's going to be at church on this particular Sunday, that they're concerned about what's going to be preached, they're concerned about what's going to be sung, they're hoping that somewhere along the line, someone's heart is going to be touched and they're going to be open to receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also remember a time of growth down there in North Vernon when I met a guy on a golf course and he mentioned that he and his wife, thank you so much. Appreciate that. I didn't plan to get, usually, well, I don't plan to ever get emotional, but usually I'm a little more prepared than this. Can you kill my mic for just a second? That would have been awful if that would have been mic'd, I'm just telling you. There was a time in North Vernon, the church was really growing, you know? And it was a really fun time to be a part of the church down there. And I met a guy on a golf course, and he mentioned that he and his wife had had a baby and how it had changed their lives. And I said, hey, you ought to come to our church. And we've got a lot of young families in the church, and a lot of people are having babies. And you know, there's a lot of people just like you guys. And they did. They started coming. And it wasn't long after they started coming, they scheduled an appointment with me and they wanted to talk to me and they told me their story. And let me tell you, their story was made up of stuff that Hollywood would have been able to take and make an incredible movie about because it was filled with the stuff that Hollywood likes. Alcoholism, drug use, unfaithfulness. A little bit of jail time thrown in. The following Sunday, after I met with them in my office, they gave their confession of faith and were baptized into Christ. And all of a sudden, just a simple conversation on a golf course turned into an entire family who's still serving the Lord now. And all of that started because of that. Willingness to just be able to speak. And I'm not saying that to take any kind of credit, but just to bring up an invitation, you know? An invitation on a golf course. And I want you to know that if that means I have to play golf every single day for Jesus, I'm willing to do that for you, for Jesus. In all seriousness, Let me review some situations. I don't have these in the outline, but you might want to write these down. Some situations, and maybe some people will come to mind. Some situations that I think people are willing to talk about coming to church. Do you know anybody that's going through a difficult time in their marriage? Maybe even a divorce. A couple that's having a baby. Somebody that just moved to the area. Do you know somebody that's just lost a job? You know somebody that's dealing with an addiction of some kind. Somebody that's dealing with a recovery. Do you know somebody that's gone through a loss? Somebody that's gone through a lot of grief in their lives. Somebody who's having financial difficulties. They're under pressure and they're having problems in their family because of those financial difficulties. Just say, hey, you ought to come to my church. We're having a special day in a couple of weeks, and I've even got a card here for you that's got the information on here. Just take this card and don't forget, come and be my guest at 10 o'clock on April the 14th, where you can hear some uplifting music, and we're going to gather around the Lord's table, and Ron is going to have a shorter sermon that day. That's definitely going to happen. But just say, hey, you ought to come to my church. Because this is serious, folks. You know? Maybe you've seen this before. The Pew Research Center released a study that says this, and Business Insider paraphrased it. And I'm going to put it on the screen so you can follow along with me. Because this is important stuff. Christians are leaving the faith in droves, and the trend isn't slowing down. The biggest faith story in our day is that in the last 7 years, the number of people in the United States who call themselves followers of Jesus has dropped by 10%. Not only is the church not growing, but every year 1% of people who once said they followed Jesus are dropping out. And in that same time frame, the number of people who identify themselves as atheist or agnostic has doubled. That's not okay. Those are our friends. Those are our neighbors. Those are our coworkers. Those are our grandchildren. And I understand, you know, we can read these things and we can get down because for 2,000 years the church has ebbed and flowed. It's been up and down and up and down and up and down. And what I'm talking about right now is the church in our community, in our part of the world. You ought to come to my church. Come on. Maybe this chair right here is their chair. So that's the first thing I want you to do. I want you to be inviting. If you're taking notes, that's the first thing. Be inviting. We're going to move through these pretty quickly. If you're sitting there thinking, man, Ron's been preaching all this time. He hasn't got to the main points yet. These are going to go quickly, okay? Be inviting because people need to know Jesus. Amen? Nobody is so smart. Nobody is so put together that they don't need God in their lives. There are people all around us that don't know Jesus. Just 6:15 this morning, I was on my way to church. There was a young lady who we pulled up at the intersection there at Walmart and Lowe's, that stoplight right there, and she had a car seat in the back, and I assumed she was a mother. She pulled up next to me at that intersection there, and it just struck me that here's this young mother at 6:15 on a Sunday morning, and I don't know if she was grocery shopping. I don't know if she was going to Walmart to get get something from the pharmacy for her kid or something. I was assuming she was shopping or whatever, but I don't know why she was there. But based on the bumper stickers all over the back of her car, I was pretty sure she wasn't picking up donuts for Sunday school, okay? Don't want to be judgmental, just saying. That's what I thought. And it hit me hard. Here's this young mother. And again, I don't know the reason why she was going there, who probably didn't know Jesus, who's making a Walmart run at 6:15 on a Sunday morning instead of getting ready to take her kid to church. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I wanted to follow her into the parking lot and then into the store and invite her to church, but I thought that might be a little creepy. So I didn't do that. So here's what I did. I drove back to the church and I prayed for her this morning, and I prayed that God might give me another opportunity to meet this young lady. And I'll know the car, believe me. I'll remember the car when I see it, that God might give me another opportunity to invite. And I want you to pray about who you might invite. It might be somebody you know. It might be a complete stranger. But be inviting. The second thing, be connecting. People might come to church for the first time because they like the music, or maybe they're touched by a message or something like that. But I'll tell you a little secret. They stay because of relationships. They stay because they got connected. They stay because they find a friend. And here's the sad part, and this has been my experience. People today who are looking for a church are not really all that concerned about doctrine. They're really not. They're looking for where they can get connected, where they can make relationships. So I want to be a church that teaches the right doctrine and makes those relationships, because they're going to go where they can find that relationship. You know, breaks my heart to think of the young families that have left this church. They told me, we're going to another church because we don't feel connected here. Young families who have told me, we love everything about the service. We love the music. We like your preaching. We just don't feel connected. Now, I'll be honest, some of it's on them, but a lot of it's on us to get people connected. There's one guy who contacts me fairly regularly and says, man, I was listening to your sermon this week, and he still listens to the sermons because he doesn't like the sermons that he's getting at the other church, but he listens to our sermons and goes there because he feels connected. It breaks my heart. I read an interesting report that said isolation, spiritually and physically, is lethal. CNN reported 2014, a study found that people are 45% more likely to die if they feel isolated or lonely or left out of relationships, if they're not relationally connected. Sociologist Robert Putnam found that if you join a small group in church within a year while doing nothing else, it will increase your life expectancy. It'll increase your odds of living longer. They've done their research, you know. We're rolling out a new program here this summer. Join a small group or die. That's what we're going to call it, you know, because it's going to help you to... I'm joking about that one. But seriously, I heard about one small group. A group of ladies started meeting. There was only a handful of them at one time. And every week, they would set out this empty chair at their small group meeting, and they would pray for the person that they thought needed to be in that chair. And it wasn't long before that small group grew to 20, and they started doing amazing things. Now, are you praying for who needs to be in this chair? And, you know, we had small groups going pretty strong there for a while, but they've become stagnant. I think it's time we revitalize those guys. Time's too short. Life is too precious. We need to revitalize those care groups. That's what we call them. Get connected. Help people get connected. Invite them. Invite them to Sunday school. Come to Sunday school. That concerns me as well. Our numbers in Sunday school are not near what they should be. It's an awesome opportunity to get connected with people and go more in depth in the study of God's Word. Come to Grounded on Sunday nights, where you have an opportunity to sit around at tables and drink some coffee. Come early, drink some coffee and hang out and have fellowship before the service ever starts. Just sit around and talk. Come to Fuel on Wednesday nights, where not only can you get something to drink, but you can eat there as well. Food is served, and you can do more of that fellowship kind of stuff. I would encourage you to get involved in something like that, some type of group where you can get connected. I think we have to honor and appreciate the past. I shut that off myself. Thank you. We have to honor and appreciate the past. Now, I'm so thankful for the past and what so many of you sitting out there have done in the past and those who have gone on to their heavenly reward. Everything that you've done to make sure that we have this here today. But we cannot be consumed with those of us who are in the middle chair, who appreciate the past and even live there sometimes, while forgetting about the third chair. We've had this conversation about being insider focused. We worry about this middle chair and whether everybody's happy and everybody's got it the way that they want it. Guys, we're not going to reach this chair by being focused on this one. Now, that's not saying we just forget about all the things that we like to do and all. It's not what I'm saying at all. But we could do more, a lot more. We don't spend near the time and energy of reaching that third chair, that next generation. If you're an older person, ask a younger person or pray for God to put a younger person in your life who you can pour yourself into. If you're a younger person, ask God for an older person who can mentor you. If you're not sure whether you're younger or older, you're older. Third, be generous. If this is your church and you know Jesus and this is your place, I want to ask you to have a plan to financially support the church. That's it on giving, not going anymore. So I encourage you, be inviting, be connected, and be generous. Fourth, be serving. I want to call on every single one of you who calls yourselves a follower of Jesus Christ, who's a member of East Columbus Christian Church, to get out of the bleachers, to take the warm-ups off, and get in the game. God has given you gifts to use. And you're sitting out there and you're saying, oh, you didn't give me any. Well, yes, he did. If you're saying you don't have a gift, you're calling God a liar. Because he has. If you are a believer in Christ, you've been baptized in him, the Bible says that he has gifted everyone. Roll up your sleeves. Get to work. Serve. Join the worship team. Hold a baby. Greet a guest. Offer a prayer. Sponsor a youth group or a children's group. Help out in children's church. The next generation needs to know about a God who loves them enough to let them know about this God, who'll take care of them. And here's the thing, this has been my experience. You experience God when you serve in a way that you never do when you watch. Let me say that again. You experience God in a way, in a greater way, when you serve in a way that you never will if you just watch. Be inviting. Be connecting, be generous, be serving. The stakes are high. And the question I want to ask you is, who's going to be sitting in this chair because of you? If the next generation depended on you and what you were doing to serve the Lord, is the next generation going to be reached? We get to be a part of a movement, an unbelievable movement, that gets to tell people about the greatest gift that's ever been given. We get to tell our family, we get to tell our friends, all the people around us. Are you going to be a part of it? And here's what I believe. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe that ECCC's best days are ahead of her, not behind her. The only way that's going to happen is if we start focusing on this third chair. I don't want to be a one-chair church. I don't want to be a two-chair church. I want to be a three-chair church. We need all three to be the church that Jesus has called us to be. Maybe there are some of you who are out there this morning. You're not a part of the church. You've not made that confession of faith yet. You've not repented of your sins. You've not been baptized. We encourage you to consider that this morning. Maybe you've already done that, but maybe you're not a member of this church. And you want to say, you know what, I'm all in. I'm going to buy in today, and I'm going to start serving the Lord here. I'm going to place my membership here, and I'm going to roll up my sleeves, and I'm going to get busy, and I'm going to start serving the Lord here. If you don't have either of those decisions to make today, I encourage you to be praying about who needs to be in that third chair that's in your life right now. Would you stand with me?